to the deacons and deaconess, the mother's board, mother's ministry, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Truly, it's a blessing to be in the house of prayer one more time. Amen. Amen. I consider myself family because Christians, we're family. No matter where we go, we family. Amen. When one hurt, we all hurt. Amen. I'm reminded of this person I was talking to pertaining to these killings with these little kids, you know, and she said, well, what do you feel about it? I said, my opinion don't mean nothing when it comes to God. But God told us, if my people who are called according to my name will humble themselves, seek his face and pray, then shall I hear from heaven and heal the land. You know, New Beginning, we need a healing all over the world. You know, they say, well, this is the end time. Don't you? And I tell them the end time was when Jesus went back to heaven. Amen. I said, the only thing we have to do is trust him. Trust him and lean on him that he'll work everything out. Everything out in our favor. Amen. Because our God never sleeps, nor do he slumber. He sees everything. Even before everything happens, he sees it. Amen. And they say, well, why do it happen? I said, don't nobody know the mind of God? Who's his counselor? None of us. We can't even counsel ourselves. So how are we going to be able to counsel God? Let God be God. And let us continue to pray and trust him. Amen. 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 Once again, I bring you greetings from the First Baptist Church, where my pastor is Pastor Ronnie Harrell. Amen. I, as always, I have my wife to raise her hand. Amen. We'll have, Lord bless us and keep us. We'll have 42 years next month. Amen. Next month. Amen. I always tell them I married the lady, the little girl down the street. Amen. And she married the little boy down the street. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to hold you long. I just want all those that are tuning in, I want to say, praise God. I'm so glad that you tuned in this morning. And God has a word for all of us this morning. And it's found in Matthew, the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter, starting at verse 15. The 14th chapter, started at verse 15, and we'll be reading down to the 21st verse. Amen?
Amen.
14th chapter of Matthew, starting at the 15th verse. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place. Desert place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. So they all ate and were full, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I would like to talk from the subject, the theme, the miracle. The miracle is in charity. Amen. You ever found yourself in a situation where your demands for something exceed your supply? Where there is more bills at the end of the month than money? where you have more taste than budget, where you have more appetite than food. You ate all that there was and you still were hungry, where you had more needs than resources. This is the kind of situation that can make you act out of character. When your need is demand or your demand is greater than your supply, like I said, it can make you act out of character and do or say strange things. That's the kind of situation the disciples found themselves in this text. This morning, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you because the disciples, they didn't have a whole lot, and it was evening time. And they had been working and toiling with Jesus all day long. And now they were in a desert place, and there was no place to go to buy food or go get some more to add to what they already had and try to stretch it and make it go a little further. Some of our young people don't know anything about that today, like in days past and gone. I mean, some of our young people have it so good nowadays that they don't know how, when times got hard, grandmama, mama, my dear, used to make meatloaf by taking hamburger meat, put a little bread, some rice, one or two eggs in it to make it last 2 or 3 days. Amen. That's what you call stretching it. Amen. And like I said, young people don't know about that today, like they did in days past and gone. Somebody ought to say amen. So as for the disciples, they knew they only had enough fish and bread for themselves, just a measly 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And as they look out among the crowd and saw 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children, they knew they didn't have enough food to feed them. So they asked Jesus to send them away. In fact, they've been working and toiling in the ministry all day long, trying to teach, trying to share the gospel, trying to convey the ethical precepts of Jesus' word to these people all day long. And now when the real opportunity for ministry came, they do something perhaps they ought not ordinarily do. Lord, send them away. We don't have but a little. This never happened to you, I'm sure. But I remember when I was growing up, my mother made me a lunch up to the 6th grade, which we call brown bagging it. I remember somebody would always ask me, for some of my bologna or ham sandwich or peanut butter and jelly sandwich, even though I only had one, and I really knew that it was gonna fill me up, so it was just the right amount, amen? And I really knew it would have helped me to make it through the rest of the day, amen? I'm not gonna tell you what I said, but this is before I met Jesus. Amen. Well, that's the kind of situation the disciples found themselves in. They didn't have bologna, but they had 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. They didn't have enough but for themselves. And yet the need was so great. I tell you, a situation like that will make you do and say strange things. Lord, send them away. But Jesus looked at them and said, sit them down on the grass and take what we have and feed them. You know, my brothers and sisters, this is a haunting text because this text challenges us to be faithful in the midst of uncertainties of life resulting from our limited resources. You know, everybody can be faithful when things are going well. When you got money in your pockets, your bills are paid, your icebox is full, your cabinets are stocked with canned goods. Everybody can be faithful, amen? Everybody wanna praise the Lord But what about when times get tough? What about when the going gets rough? What about when your money's funny and your change is strange? What about when the bill collector's knocking at your door? Can you still say, stay faithful? I'm here to tell you that when your resources are limited and life is uncertain, my sisters and brothers, you must still remain faithful to our Lord and Father Jesus Christ. The last time I checked, he was still making house calls. Amen. Amen. Now, there are several lessons to be learned from our text this morning when we're facing limited resources. Initially, the text first suggests to use for us, we must use our limited resources to do the right thing. I don't care what happens in life. There is never an excuse to do the wrong thing. I don't care how hard times get. There is never an excuse to do the wrong thing. I don't care how tight the money is. I don't care what situations are in. Whenever our resources are limited, we must always do the right thing. The disciples wanted to do the wrong thing. Lord, send them away. But Jesus did the right thing. Sit them down on the grass that we might feed them. My brothers and sisters, when we're facing uncertainties of life as a result of our limited resources, we must still do the right thing. When people all around us are doing the wrong thing, still we must do the right thing. When people say, well, it's okay, folks will understand if we do it this way. No, we must still do the right thing. And then secondly, this text suggests to us that we must take our limited resources and place them in the Lord's hands. Amen. That's how you get through hard times. That's how you get through hard knocks. That's how you climb high mountains. When you look around and you see that you don't have much, you take the little that you have and place it in the master's hands. Your little will become much. You see, they didn't have a whole lot, but they took what they had and put it in Jesus' hands. Today, I declare, every time you put your limited resources in the hands of the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, it sure will work out in your favor. Amen. Amen, somebody. There is a story of a little boy who went into the store one day to get some candy. And while he was there, the man of the store said, son, how may I help you? He didn't say anything, but just stood there by the candy jar and kept looking. The man said, how can I help you? And what do you want? And what do you need? The little boy just stood right there and kept looking at the candy in the jar. The man said, do you want some candy? The little boy didn't say anything. He just stood there, right there, and kept looking at the candy jar. Then the man finally said, take your hand and put it in the jar and get as much candy as you want. The little boy didn't say anything. He just stood there and kept looking. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere with this. When finally the man stuck his hand in the candy jar and pulled out candy and told the little boy to hold your hand out, and there was more candy than the little boy could hold. You see, the little boy knew something. He knew that if the man's hands were larger than his hands, and if he put his hands in there, there will only be a little. But if the man put his hands in there, oh, hallelujah, his hands would be overflowing. I stopped by to tell you that that's the way it is when you take the little that you have and put it in Jesus' hands. His hands are larger than our hands. And the little that we put in his hands will become much. That's why we must take our limited resources and place them in the Lord's hand. Can I give you one more? The text today tells us when we place our resources in the Lord's hand, the Lord will bless them. It's right here in the text if you haven't torn it out. The disciples took what they took what they had, placed it in Jesus' hands, and the Bible says Jesus lift them up and bless them. And when the Lord blesses, that what you have more than you ever did. Someone know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Because when the Lord blesses your life, rest assured today, you will be fruitful and fulfilled more than you ever could imagine. When the Lord blesses your home, you have a more godlier atmosphere in that home than you ever know. When the Lord blesses your job or your business, bless your community or bless your church, people will be drawn to Jesus and they will respond to the gospel because your giving is directly tied to your testimony. So today, my friends, I challenge you to place your limited resources in the Lord's hands because the miracle is in charity. They took it and put it in Jesus' hands, and the Lord blessed it, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. And when everybody had been fed, when everybody had been full, just about ready to go to sleep. Now, that's the gospel according to Richard. That's not in the text, but you know how it is. After we eat and get full, we ready to go to sleep. They went around, they took up 12 baskets of broken fish, pieces of fish and bread that had been left over. You said, how could that happen? I don't know, the writer does not know, but all we do know is that whenever you take what you have and put it in the master hands, he blesses it. More is there when you finish than there was in the beginning. That's the way it is with giving. God gives us a scenario to give us an eternal truth of faithfulness. And that is the miracle is in charity. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over in your bosom or in your lap. For the measure you give, it shall be measured back to you. Amen. I challenge you to place what you have in God's hands because you can't beat God's giving. No matter how hard you try, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Why? Because the miracles is in charity. I don't know how you feel about it, but we got a miracle. Over 42 generations, it was Jesus Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, we got a miracle. Amen. Came, gave sight to the blind, caused the lame to walk, caused the dead to rise. Amen. And then that's not all. The miracle, he was beat, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we were healed. Well, brothers and sisters, they took him to an old rugged cross outside the city. They tell me it was called Golgotha. They tell me that they nailed his hands and nailed both his feet, dropped the cross in Mother Earth. Mother Earth closed up around that cross. And as he was on that cross, they tell me two thieves was on the cross, one on the left and one on the right. They were mocking him. If thou be the Christ, save yourself and save us also. I'm paraphrasing this. And he said, this man has, one of them thieves said, this man has done nothing. The thief on the right said, we deserve what we're getting, but this man has done nothing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he told him, he said, from this day forward, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I don't know about you, but I heard that Jesus said, Father, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Well, who are those men? Those who wanted to do wrong in life. Those prostitutes, those homosexuals, those thieves, those robbers. Amen. I was even included. You were included. He died for you and he died for me. Well, brother, I never done nothing wrong. I always knew Jesus. I've been good. But my Bible says there is none good. No, not one. If you say you good, you make Christ a liar. Amen. Because the God I serve, he died one Friday. He died one Friday. And while he was in that grave, the devil went back and started partying. The devil thought he had him. The devil came back to the grave Saturday and said, oh, Mr. Grave, do you have that man they call Jesus? And Mr. Grave said, I still got him. He ain't going nowhere. And the devil went on back and kept on partying. The people kept on sinning. Amen. Then early Sunday morning, the devil came back and said, oh, Mr. Gray, do you still have him? And I stopped by to tell you there was some shaking going on. They stopped by to tell you that there was some shaking going on. And Mr. Gray couldn't say a word because Jesus got up on that third day with all power in his hands, power on earth and power in heaven, power to turn your life around, power to place your feet on solid ground. I don't know about you, but I've been turned around and I sure enough been running for Jesus. I've been running for him and I'm not tired yet. I give and I know I don't worry about it giving, coming back to me because I'm storing up my treasures in heaven. Amen. I stopped by to tell you the miracle is in charity. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. We serve an outstanding God. Amen. God promised us. He promised us that if we abide in him and he abide in us, we can ask for anything according to his will. According to his will. We just can't come up and say, Lord, I need this. Lord ain't gonna give you a brand new car you can't afford to one you got. Amen. I may not have a house on the hill, but I have a house where I got a roof over my head. Amen. I got clothes on my back, a roof. I got food on my table, but it don't stop there. I just got to keep on giving. I give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen, 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 amen. The miracle is in charity. I thank God. Let us pray. Father God, we come right now, Lord, to thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word with thy people, Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that if we have not been doing what you have told us to do in your word, that you'll forgive us right now. Clean us up, that we'll be able to follow you and be able to do what you would have us to do. We thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.